themselves.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Another dreary Thursday, but don't you worry. We're gonna get to some uplifting information. Today, I wanted to celebrate belatedly Transgender Day of Visibility, which is different from Transgender Day of Remembrance, which is a separate date in the calendar. And they're different because so many transgendered people are targeted and killed, frankly. And so this Transgender Day of Visibility, which was this past Sunday, is a day about lifting up and elevating. It's also a day to, I think, take the opportunity to combat what has become a theme of my show this week, which is a lot of lying about science, a lot of lying about baseline facts, and then lies pumped up with incredible extremist rhetoric. I spent yesterday talking about the lies coming from the right-wing rage machine about the fact that Transgender Day of Visibility happened to fall on Easter. It has nothing to do with President Biden. Two totally separate things. Easter varies every year as to its date. Transgender Day of Visibility is always March 31st. They lied about that. They lied about why there cannot be religious imagery used in the egg art contest at the White House. It's been that way for decades. It was like that during Donald Trump's administration. But the GOP used that to call Democrats a satanic cult, to call Democrats evil. That's just dangerous. And there's probably no area in public discourse right now, and I'm not going to deal with QAnon. Let's just leave that on the table, shall we, honey? That would get us down rabbit holes that have rabbit holes that have rabbit holes. Just going to take QAnon off the table. But other than the QAnon nonsense, the area that I think gets some of the biggest lies and the most hateful rhetoric, the most extremist violent rhetoric that attaches, are lies about the LGBTQIA plus community, especially transgender folks. That seems to be the favorite topic. And so I thought I would take the opportunity today to correct some of that record. There's been recent lies. Donald Trump just endorsed a complete wingnut in South Carolina who has said some of the most disturbing things I've heard in a while about transgender people. We're going to listen to a wackadoodle Florida representative who said the quiet part out loud, much to the chagrin of some of his GOP supporters. But I wanted to start, I'm a lawyer. Y'all, if you've been listening to the show, you know this. I'm a lawyer. I wanted to start with a little bit of a recap of what has been going on in the law. There are probably now over 100 different lawsuits going on coast to coast in the United States that deal with what I'm just going to call anti-LGBTQIA plus legislation of some stripe across the country. So whether we're talking about trans care bans, book bans, drag show bans, all kinds of stuff. And fundamentally, if we just step back and look at this, What do we as Americans, as Wisconsinites, generally, regardless of our background or our beliefs, one value that we all tend to hold sacrosanct is freedom and the individual's right to choose. And perhaps, and I will respectfully suggest that identifying who you are and who you want to be in this world, how you want to show up in the world, is the first and the last and the most important of all of the individual freedoms to define who you are as a person, to choose who you are and what you wear, how you style your hair. We even have the right to change our names. So at base, And what is that right? That right to define who we are? It's a speech right, right? At the very baseline level, I want to be called this. I want to say this. I want to appear in the world. Is that that's the First Amendment. And so I wanted to start with some of the law surrounding this. Because in my legal opinion, it is all of these drag show bans, the care bans, all this crap. It's all unconstitutional. It's all unconstitutional. If the guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, how can you force someone to not be who they are, to keep an identity that they don't agree? If you can't make the guy make the cake, if you can't make the web designer make the website for a gay wedding, why is the inverse not also applicable? Right? And this is what I respectfully, again, to my conservative friends, folks that may be conservative that are listening, whatever you think about LGBTQIA folks, fundamentally, it ain't your business. It's their speech right. It's our speech right to show up as we choose every day in this world. We can get into equal protection under the 14th Amendment, but I don't need to count to the 14th Amendment. I can just start with the First Amendment. That our right to free speech is reflective of our right to be who we are and show up in the world as we are, to define ourselves as we wish. The most fundamental, it's the reason, there's a reason it's the First Amendment. So I wanted to actually share with you something that I had written before I left Milwaukee County. In my capacity as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer, I'd written a legal analysis for some clients who wanted to know what is the legal environment if Milwaukee County issued a policy in support of gender-affirming care, opposing quote-unquote conversion therapy, which isn't a thing. And so this is how I started that legal analysis. And I'll go through, for you wonks out there, don't you worry. I'll give you some of the case names and tell you what's going on in some of the cases. But I wanted to start with what I think, I think I wrote it down just right. And so instead of trying to reinvent the wheel here, this is what I wrote this past October. Put bluntly, religious viewpoints have now begun to infringe upon the basic human right to self-determine. Partisan interests more aligned with certain religious beliefs are finding purchase within certain local and state governmental units, including school boards, cities, counties, and states, resulting in the enactment of hundreds of laws and policies that amount to nothing more than the stripping, the taking away of constitutionally guaranteed rights from some people based solely on that person's gender and their identity. These are not laws that seek to protect. Rather, their purpose is to preference the religious beliefs of some above all other interests. This is antithetical to a secular democracy like the United States. These laws and the very few courts that have upheld them have done so based on garbage science, unverifiable anecdotes, and correspondingly poor legal analyses. This is so because admitting the truth behind these laws, that in service of deeply divisive partisan politics, the religious beliefs of some are being used as a cudgel to oppress and strip rights from those that do not believe as they do, would surely doom them all. The reality here is stark. These laws and policies seek to eliminate the impact and the presence of the LGBTQIA community from political, economic, educational, social, and other institutional power structures. Moreover, these efforts are far from benign or wholesome expressions of religious belief, or faith. The rhetoric used in favor of book bans and conversion therapy and to oppose gender-affirming healthcare, safe spaces in schools, and any institutional acknowledgement of the humanity of others who may not share the religious views of a self-proclaimed majority amounts to nothing more than moral judgments about the worthiness and the humanity of others, which in many cases tacitly and explicitly encourages violence. That is what we're dealing with. This isn't about respecting the religious beliefs of folks. This is about disrespecting and discounting the humanity and dignity of people. Letting someone else live their life in a way that you may not agree with, guess what? That's American. That's what we get to do here. We don't get to place our religious beliefs in a position of governmental endorsement so that we can exclude others from our educational systems, from our boardrooms, from our governments. That ain't American. It isn't the Wisconsin that I know either. And so, Anya, I think we have just enough time. If you don't believe that summary, let's listen to what Florida Representative Jeff Holcomb has to say about gay people.
ISIS, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda. Those are the folks who discriminate. Homosexuals, they threw homosexuals off that building. Our terrorist enemies hate homosexuals more than we do. Our terrorist enemies hate homosexuals more than we do.
The Republican Party just said to you what they believe. They hate homosexuals. That is the problem. And by the way, I don't remember a part in the New Testament where it said to hate your neighbor. I don't remember that part. I don't think it's there. When we come back, I'm going to dig in to some of the law and some of the most recent controversies and one of Trump's most disgusting endorsements coming out of South Carolina. We got to stop the hate, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We'll have more after these quick messages. Join the conversation. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-48.
Just gonna stand there and watch me burn. Well, that's all right because I like the way it hurts. Just gonna stand there and hear me cry. Well, that's all right because I love the way you lie. I love the way.
Love the way they lie. I don't like it at all. Not one little bit. And so part of the point here on the Maggie Dawn Show is to call out the lies, right? We collectively, we've got to stop and just say enough. Again, we can disagree about a whole lot of stuff, but our disagreements shouldn't be manipulated by politicians that lie to us to make us scared or angry or rageful. That's not an actual disagreement. That's just some bully telling you what to think so that you'll go fight their battles for them. And that's, honest to goodness, there's so much of that going on. So much of that going on. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can join our conversation. I'm observing Trans Visibility Day today and trying to set aside some of the misinformation and call out some of the baloney that gets spewed about on the right. I began by pointing out the inherent fallacy in their argument. It's un-American. It's un-Christian. If we want to talk about it in religious terms, it's so let's get this straight. It's un-American, it's un-Christian, and it's illegal. You know, the only axis on which this anti-trans, anti-LGBTQIA+ movement works is for Republicans. It works on their political axes. But legally, morally, not even Christian, morally, and from an American values perspective, none of this makes sense. It doesn't pass the smell test. And here's the thing. I think a lot of people know this deep down. Again, I must have missed the part in the New Testament where it tells you to hate your neighbor if they're different from you. Can somebody give me that chapter and verse? Because it ain't there. So I want to spend just a couple minutes talking about some of the law here. If you're a nerd, you can take some notes because I'm going to drop some of the case names on you. But perhaps one of the most important sort of foundational decisions recently is the Bostock versus Clayton County. It was a Supreme Court case from 2020. And it concluded that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits sex discrimination, and that that prohibition against discriminating against someone on the basis of their sex includes folks that are transgender, and that employers must therefore provide a reasonable accommodation to a person who is transgender, and an employer may not discriminate based on gender identity. It was took us until 2020 to get there. We got there. And remember, that's 2020. There were some conservatives on the Supreme Court, if I'm recollecting accurately. That case has now been extended and applied by other federal appeals courts with respect to other federal laws, like Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972. Which prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in educational programming or any educational system that receives funding from the federal government. So again, I ask you, how is it that we can start removing books from libraries if they receive a penny of taxpayer dollars, especially federal dollars, based on content that relates to sexual identity in the books? Seems a little anti-American to me. Of course, I've already mentioned the First Amendment, which protects our speech rights, and the 14th Amendment, which guarantees each and every one of us, regardless of our sex and race, national origin, equal protection under the laws. And cases have expanded those foundational principles that within the definition of sex is gender identity, and being transgender, you can't be discriminated against. That has been expanded. And you're seeing federal courts dealing with this now with reference to drag show bans, with reference to book bans, care bans, et cetera, et cetera. And on August 1st, just last year, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, which includes the state of Wisconsin, as well as Illinois and Indiana, concluded that students have the right to use the bathroom of their preferred gender identity. And they were confirming, that's the AC versus Metro School District of Martinsville. That was that case, August 1st, 2023. That AC case affirmed prior Seventh Circuit precedent from Whitaker versus Kenosha Unified School District number 1. Where the court went pretty far to criticize the argument that separate is equal when it comes to bathrooms in schools. Listen to what the court said. This was back in 2017. Seventh Circuit, again covering Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. Here's what the court said. A policy that requires an individual to use a bathroom that does not conform with his or her gender identity punishes that individual for his or her gender nonconformance, which in turn violates Title IX, right? Connecting the dots here. The court also found a 14th Amendment equal protection violation, applying intermediate scrutiny, which requires an exceedingly persuasive justification for the school district's bathroom access policy, because it was in fact based on a protected classification, to wit, sex. And the court said this, in response to the justification provided by the Kenosha School Board. Okay, so they have to offer this exceedingly persuasive justification for their discriminatory, their sex discriminatory bathroom policy. And here's what their justification was. Anya, tell me if this sounds a wee familiar. Well, we have to have transgender students use a separate bathroom to do what? To protect the privacy rights of students. We might have heard this before about locker rooms and bathrooms and all this hysteria, right? Here's what the Seventh Circuit, not known as a flamingly liberal progressive court, had to say in response to that. The court concluded that this was more or less the opposite of exceedingly persuasive, because there is no evidence that the transgender student is less discreet than other students while using the bathroom, or that the stall doors in the bathroom did not provide adequate privacy to all. Yeah, transgender people not more inclined to be less private than not transgender people. Duh. When we come back, I'm going to continue reviewing some of the law. We're going to get into a recent Trump endorsement and some more misinformation getting spread about the LGBTQIA plus community, and especially trans folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. You have questions, comments? 855-75-CIVIC. Back in a bit. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. Don't you want to just be who you are, the way that you were born? Do your thing, including embracing your own gender identity. Right? It's not, it gets talked about by conservatives as if it's some sort of binary thing. When you talk to endocrinologists and you talk to geneticists, it's not. I mean, the Kinseys had this figured out a long time ago. Anya's going to share with us in a little bit some early 20th century folks, might surprise you, that knew about this stuff. But for the moment, I just want to share with you some more of the law on this. Because from my opinion, all of this nonsense is not only, and by nonsense, I mean the hate that is directed towards the LGBTQIA community, all these anti-trans laws, all these attacks, not just immoral, not just un-American, they're all illegal. You don't get to use your individual religion to oppress other groups. You just don't. So I was talking about the Seventh Circuit, which is the federal appeals court that covers Wisconsin. In 2017, Seventh Circuit also held that gender identity, you can't discriminate on that basis under Title VII. Another case extending it and including gender identity under the ACA or Obamacare and the Equal Protection Clause. That case came down in 2018. By the way, the 2017 case was the Seventh Circuit. That's Hively versus Ivy Tech. 2018 case, that's Western District of Wisconsin, Federal Trial Court, that's Boyden v. Conlin. Flack v. the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, Western District of Wisconsin in 2019, held that Medicaid exclusions targeted transgender people constitute sex discrimination under the Affordable Care Act. So while there are some federal courts, largely those stocked with Trump appointees, that have not concluded that these sort of discriminatory policies are unconstitutional. In other words, they found that they are legal. They are by far in the minority. The vast majority of federal courts that have looked at this find that these kinds of policies and practices are unconstitutional, either a violation of the First Amendment, the 14th Amendment, Title 7, Title 9, et cetera, et cetera. Now, buried in all these lawsuits are all these anti-science garbage assertions that the experts, the doctors, the endocrinologists, the science that supports care for transgender people isn't credible for some reason. And of course, I find it interesting to get into the weeds of those cases and read how the judges assess the credibility of the experts, both the experts that testify and provide studies supporting transgender care and those that oppose it. And time after time after time, the courts basically call the anti-trans care contingency a bunch of crackpots that don't have any expertise in the very thing that they're talking about or are so fundamentally compromised by their own religious beliefs as to be not credible. Here's just little language samplings. Thought that might be fun. This is coming out of the Sixth Circuit in 2023 with reference to a Kentucky trans care ban, which that appeals court found unconstitutional. The Kentucky Attorney General's reference to an assumed ideological takeover of the major medical organizations is baseless. Quote, the overwhelming majority of doctors are dedicated professionals whose first goal is the safe and effective treatment of their patients. And there's no reason to believe that the doctors who adopted these standards, referring to trans care medical standards, were motivated by anything else. It is fanciful to believe that all the many medical associations who have endorsed gender-affirming care, who have spoken out and joined an amicus brief supporting the plaintiffs in this litigation, have so readily sold their patients down the river. Duh. Okay, another Sixth Circuit case, also in 2023. The court agrees with plaintiffs that the testimony of Dr. Cantor and Dr. Hughes is minimally persuasive, given that neither of them state that they have ever diagnosed or treated a minor with gender dysphoria. I just want to pause there. In this case, and these two experts, this Dr. Cantor and Dr. Hughes, show up and they're used repeatedly across the country in these anti-trans care cases. This is the court saying this, not me, not Civic Media, not the Maggie Dawn Show. Yeah, these guys are minimally persuasive because neither of them have ever diagnosed or treated a minor with gender dysphoria. I would then call you not an expert? I mean, where do these guys get off? Seriously. You've never treated anyone with gender dysphoria, and yet you're going to say that transgender care is not good? How the hell would you know? The court says, you don't. This apparent deficiency in their expertise as to the topics with which they testify is relevant, I should say, given that plaintiffs present several experts that have diagnosed and treated hundreds of individuals with gender dysphoria. Dysphoria. This diminution of their testimony is critical. The court goes on. Dr. Hughes is not qualified to offer expert opinions on the diagnosis of gender dysphoria, the DSM, gender dysphoria's potential causes, or the likelihood that a patient will regret gender-affirming care. Hughes is not a psychologist, not a psychiatrist, nor a mental health care professional. He's never diagnosed a patient with gender dysphoria, treated gender dysphoria, treated a transgender patient, conducted any original research about gender dysphoria diagnosis or its causes, or published any scientific peer-reviewed literature on gender dysphoria. Ouch! That's a judge basically calling your butt dumb. Shut up. That is the nice, legally fancy way to tell an expert to shut up. And these sorts of takedowns of these so-called doctors and experts put forward by the supporters of gender affirming care bans are legion. I have hundreds of pages of these cases. Now, there's been recent lies that have been widely disseminated about the World Professional Health Association for Transgender Health, also referred to as WPATH. I'm going to get to those. But here's a court talking about the trans care ban supporters' attempts to discredit WPATH. Defendants attempt to discredit the WPATH and Endocrine Society's guidelines by pointing out that the conclusions contained therein are based on, quote, low-quality evidence. Ultimately, defendants' argument is not persuasive. As explained by Dr. Antumaria, the grading of recommendations, assessment, development, and evaluation system permits conclusions to be drawn based on what is considered, quote, low quality evidence. To the extent that plaintiffs rely on what is called, quote, low quality evidence, this sort of evidence is not unique to support treatment and care. For example, 20% of the American Heart Association's guidelines for pediatric basic and advanced life support include strong recommendations based on low quality evidence. So I just want to get that straight. There's all manner of medical procedures and care processes and best practices that are based on low quality evidence. Just a sampling of those: gallbladder surgery, statin drugs, mammograms, antidepressants, radiation therapy, withholding aspirin for child fevers, and various neonatal medicines. I think I want all those things. Like, I think a mammogram is probably good. Another misnomer frequently trotted out by trans care ban proponents are that European countries ban trans care. That's a lie. There's a big, fat lie. A Tennessee trial court called out that lie. And guess what? These courts are routinely finding and concluding that parents have a constitutionally guaranteed right to choose healthcare for their children, and that adults have a constitutionally guaranteed right to choose their own healthcare. The land of the free. Except if I don't agree with you. I mean, come on now. Now, what is really shocking to me is that a man who is has called for the arrest and execution of people that support trans care or educators that talk about the existence of the LGBTQIA community, who is now running for South Carolina's 3rd Congressional District. This man has called for people's arrest and execution because they hold different beliefs than what his religious beliefs are. In a democracy? Yeah. This guy, his name is Pastor Mark Burns, was just this past Monday endorsed by President Donald Trump. And I think, Anya, you've got some of the crazy stuff that Pastor Burns has said. Let's take a listen.
The LGBT transgender grooming our children's minds is a national security threat because it is ultimately designed to destabilize the republic we call the United States of America. That's why when I'm elected, I don't want to just vote. I want to start holding people accountable for treason to the Constitution. I am going to push to reenact HUAC. HUAC is the House of Un-American Activities Committee. It was a real committee that was formulated back in the 50s, and is a committee that we should reenact that starts holding these people accountable for treason. We need to hold people for treason, start having some public hearings, and start executing people who are found guilty for their treasonous acts against the Constitution of the United States of America, just like they did back in 1776.
You know what, South Carolina? This is our guy.
Yikes. So just to summarize Pastor Mark Burns there, when it comes to LGBTQIA people and those that support them, those that support Americans' right to choose their own healthcare, he believes those are traitors to America, that they have committed treason and should be executed. This is the candidate that President Trump has endorsed for a seat in the U.S. Congress. This is insane. This is the opposite of American values. To arrest and execute people because they do not share your religious view of the world is as un-American as I can possibly conjure up. And this is who the president of the United States says people in South Carolina should vote for. How disgusting, how immoral, how un-American, and how deeply, deeply unconstitutional. And what is all of this based on? Lies. And make no mistake, Donald Trump himself has proposed banning transgender care at any age, investigating hospitals and manufacturers that produce hormone therapy and puberty blockers. And he's also called for a national ban on trans youth care, as well as a trans sports ban. I thought we were all equal under the law, except in Donald Trump's America. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to come back in just a few moments. We're going to put a bow around this one at the bottom of the hour. Keep it locked, everybody. Welcome back, Wisconsin. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show in celebration and observation of the Transgender Day of Visibility, which was this past Sunday. I've spent some time this afternoon debunking the scientific lies, the moral lies, and the constitutional lies that are spread about the LGBTQIA plus community. And if you're a Black and brown person, if you're a woman, this all might seem very eerily familiar. Because science and religion and American constitutional principles have been used before in our recent history to justify oppression of non-white, not male, not landowners. That is part of our history. It's not CRT. It's just part of our damn history. And so we see this now again here. So here are the facts about transgender care. It is neither experimental nor detrimental to the welfare of young people or adults. And claims to the contrary are not based on systemized studies nor peer-reviewed scientific journal articles. Every major medical institution supports gender-affirming care and opposes conversion therapy. The abundance, the vast abundance of medical evidence favors gender-affirming care. And claims by quote-unquote medical experts in cases across the country to oppose transgender care are not credible, as held by countless courts, because these so-called expert witnesses either lack experience, expertise, or were found to be forwarding religiously based views as opposed to views based in medical science and legitimate research. And when they can't actually beat you on the science, of course, they lie about the science and then try to discredit the legitimate scientific associations and medical associations that support care. This happened just a couple weeks ago. A whole gaggle of anti-trans care folks started to claim that the World Association for Transgender Health, or WPATH, had been gutted that they had fired their CEO, that they had retracted their claims in supporting transgender care. It was all lies. A guy by the name of Michael Schellenberger sort of led this. And where did all this come from? Because WPATH's website was getting updated and had a glitch, and it went back to one of its earlier website versions. And so he, oh, they've disavowed all their medical claims. Oh, they fired their... No, you dummy. If you would have called the organization like any responsible person with a platform would have done, or done the littlest bit of research, you would have found out that they're just having a glitch updating their damn website. His post claiming that WPATH had disavowed their research, disavowed trans care, had fired their CEO, those posts were viewed over 500,000 times. They were then amplified by Jamie Reed, the so-called Missouri whistleblower an anti-trans influencer, as well as Graham Linehan, an anti-trans influencer, as well as Our Duty, a major anti-trans international organization, January Littlejohn, Jen Specht, and even the National Review, who ran an article with the title, "An International Transgender Conspiracy Has Been Unmasked." This was all based upon a website glitch, people. This is the hysteria. This is the lies told by the damn liars over and over again, amplified and repeated millions of times to convince you that what is up is down, what is left and right is right, to confuse you, to mislead you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a lemming. It should stop the damn lying. And here's what's incredible. This lie put out there by Michael Schellenberger. He was actually called out by another conservative by the name of Jesse Single, who posted on his sort of chain of posts and said, there's a bit of misinformation online. I think we need to be really careful about jumping to conclusions. Something is very wrong with the WPATH website, but no one knows what. You shouldn't just casually toss out the theory that the CEO has been removed when the screenshots clearly show a reversion to an earlier version of the site before she took over. I don't understand the downside of finding out before tweeting speculation. Then WPATH corrected their website glitch and put this warning up. Please be advised, our website is currently experiencing an internal system issue and we were working to restore it. And this liar spewing hate and rhetoric that kills people, that frightens people, then deleted his whole thread. Oops. Oops. This is the same guy that put out the WPATH files, which claimed that some of the research and studies that WPATH has used to try to put forward standards for transgender care were flawed or bad. But here is the act, like all of these things in this space, it's gaslighting. What was flawed and inaccurate and misrepresentational and packed with lies was Schellenberger's WPATH files. A fact check uncovered 216 factual errors in the attacks made against WPATH. It uncovered incorrect citations and misrepresentations of these, quote, leaked message board posts. For example, one message board post that was, quote, unquote, leaked showed that a patient was leaking prostate fluid. They were talking about someone that was post gender transition. But the actual complete post showed that the patient was experiencing an orgasm. I mean, it goes on and on. And the basic facts about transgender history were omitted in these, quote, WPATH files. And they asserted that trans care itself was a Nazi Germany invention. When we come back, Anya and I are going to debunk that big old fatty 2x4 lie, can't get through the door. When we come back, because It wasn't a Nazi invention. It's the Nazis who tried to stop transgender care because it existed back in Germany in the 1910s. You're not going to want to miss this. I'm Maggie Dawn. She is Anya Esther. We're breaking down the damn lies and the lying liars and all the stuff, all the misinformation that is out there about our transgender friends, family, and community members.